Now, get up now, get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes, hear the words I said. Get up now, get up and make your bed. Are you hot, are you cold, are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework at? Grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and your hat. Don't forget, you're gonna feed the cat. Eat your breakfast, the experts tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take your vitamins so you will grow up one day to be big and tall. Please remember the orthodontist will be seeing you every Tuesday. Don't forget your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play, don't shovel. Chew slowly, but hurry, the bus is here, be careful. Come back here. Did you wash behind your ears? Play outside, don't be rough. Would you just play fair? Be polite, make a friend. Don't forget to share. Work it out when your turn. Never take a dare. Get along. So maybe come down there. Clean your room, fold your clothes, put your stuff away. Make a bed, do it now. Do you have all day? Were you born in a barn? Would you like some hay? Can you even hear a word I say? Answer the phone, get off the phone. Don't sit so close, turn it down. No texting on the table. No more computer time tonight. Your iPod's my iPod. If you don't listen up, where you going and with whom and what time do you think you're coming home? Saying thank you, please excuse you, makes you welcome everywhere you roam. You'll appreciate my wisdom someday when you're older and you're grown. Can't wait till you have a couple little children of your own. You'll thank me for the counsel I gave you so willingly, but right now I'll thank you not to roll your eyes at me. Close your mouth when you chew, we'd appreciate. Take a bite, maybe two, of the stuff you hate. Use your fork, do not burp, or I'll set you straight. Eat the food I put upon your plate. Get an A, get the door, don't smart with me. Get a grip, get in here, I'll count 2, 3. Get a job, get a life, get a PhD. Get a dose of I. Don't care who started it, you're grounded until you're 36. Get your story straight and tell the truth for once, for heaven's sake. And if all of your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump too? If I've said it once, I've said it at least 1,000 times before. That you're too old to act this way, it must be your father's DNA. Look at me when I am talking, stand up straighter when you walk a place. For everything and everything must be in place. Stop crying or I'll give you something real to cry about. Wash your face, brush your teeth, put your PJs on. Get in bed, give a hug, say a prayer for mom. Don't forget, I love you. And tomorrow we will do this all again, because a month would never end. You don't need the reason why. Because I said so, I said so, I said so, I said so. I'm the mom, the mom, the mom, the mom.
Man, aren't you tired? Good night. That was great, Holly. I know you're exhausted. Man, wow. What a job. You know, they actually wrote a sequel to that. That was called, I think, Momism or something, and the one's called Dadism. And it's just one line. It says, ask your mom. How's it? Ta-da. Oh, me, that's awesome. Well, I want you to take your Bibles this morning, turn to two passages with me. Proverbs 31, I want you to mark your spot there, Proverbs 31, and then 1 Samuel chapter 1, okay? Two Old Testament passages. I promise you we're going to be fast and quick, but I want to read these two things to you and talk to you about what it means to be a mom and how special that is to me. Just a few years ago, my mom went in for minor surgery, and by the end of the next day, she had passed away from complications from that surgery. And you know, when you start thinking about that, and a lot of people say, well, I'm sure this is a sad day for you. No, it's not any sadder than any other day. I spent every day with my mom, and that was good as an adult to be her pastor and spend time with her. But, I started thinking about that, and there are a lot of images that run through your mind when you think about your mom. I mean, I think about her face. I think about some of the special reactions that she had. When we were little, we actually went to the county fair one night, and this was a long time ago. I was little a long time ago, sad to say. But her appendix ruptured at the fair, at the county fair, and we didn't know it. And so by the time we got to the hospital in those days, that was a very, very dangerous thing, and they didn't really know what to do. And so she was actually in the hospital, I believe it was 39 days, so we didn't see our mom as little kids for 39 days. And then after those 39 days, we were rolled, we're in this little room in the hospital, and it's one of those freaky things as a kid. But I remember when they rolled her in, she only weighed about 70 pounds. And the look on her face when she saw her kids again is one of those images that just stuck in my mind. And then, I remember a few years later, My little sister actually got a role on Romper Room. Do y'all know what that is? Do y'all know what Romper Room is? When I was a kid, there was this thing called Romper Room, and you could actually, you know, just to be an average kid, and you could get on this TV show, and they would put you on TV. That was the big deal. And I don't remember exactly how my sister fell down and scraped her face the day before she was supposed to go on Romper Room. I think I did something, because I'll tell you why, because I tried to fix it. And so while my mom was gone, and I washed her face off and cleaned all the little cuts and abrasions, and then I took Mercurochrome and colored her face. And so when my mom, the other image that's in my mind is my mom's face the day before my sister's supposed to go on Romper Room, and she comes back from the grocery store, and my sister says, "My brother made it better." And she's looking at my sister, red, all this red on her face, going, "You have no brain, son. You have no brain." And then, you know, the last image that's in my mind is really of my mom working down in the preschool with your children and her face. Nothing made her happier than to pour her life into those kids down in the preschool every single week. It drove her. And so it's what I'm saying to you is this. There's a lot of things that make up what it means to be a good mom. But really, we don't need more good moms. What we need is more godly moms that pour Jesus into their children. And what I want to talk to you today about is what that means. And it really, really comes from a passage in Proverbs. And I'm going to just read that passage. It's in Proverbs 31. And if you'll look down in verse 30, it says this. This is a powerful statement. And ladies, if there's a statement that I think, a biblical statement, that would be really good for you to write down somewhere that you could read every day, just to remind you every day of what God has in store for you, is this. It says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Did you hear that? I mean, that is so great. I mean, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about what it means to be a woman who really fears the Lord, what it really means to be a woman who's godly, who leaves a godly legacy with her children. I'll tell you why. One of the verses that sticks in my mind is from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 66, verse 13. And Isaiah's talking for the Lord. I mean, he's sharing, the Lord shared with him, and he said that the Lord comforts us as a mother comforts her children. And even God himself understands the love that a mom has for her kids. There's nothing like that mother's love. And so you have a huge opportunity to impact your children with the goodness of God's grace, with the power of his love, with the person and life of Jesus. And so that's what I'm praying for. And the story really rises out of 1 Samuel this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I'm going to let you guys go back and read it just to save some time. Let me tell you a little bit about this story. The story is about a man named Elkanah. And he is a guy who actually went against God's law, in a sense. He had two wives. One wife had children, which was seen as a blessing from the Lord. And the other wife, Hannah, which means grace, she had no children. The Lord had closed her womb. This was according to God's providence in her life and his sovereignty. And they would get together as a family, and they would go to the tabernacle. It's called the temple in this passage. It was still the tabernacle at the time, this temporary place of worship, to meet with the Lord. And for three annual feasts, he would gather his family together, and he would go there. And when he would give his wife and her children their portions. And then he would give Hannah, it says actually a double portion. He would give to her an offering, a gift, double portion, meaning a worthy portion, because he really loved her. He really, really loved her. Each year when they would go, the wife who had children would needle Hannah. They became rivals, actually, in their own household. And it was heartbreaking for her. And you can imagine, in fact, the scripture says year after year when they would go up, this would go on, this rivalry and this tension, and one wife needling the other. "You don't have any children. I mean, you're not even a good wife. You can't be a mother," and all on and on. And so her heart was breaking, and you can imagine the agony that she was going through. And then it says in this one particular year, after they had made their offering, she went to the temple. Eli was there, the priest, and she was agonizing before the Lord because of her situation. She wanted a child. She really wanted a child. And she was petitioning God to answer her request. And as she was petitioning God, because she was in great anguish and sorrow, she was speaking from her heart. Her lips were moving, but there was no sound coming out of her mouth. And so Eli thought that she was drunk. And he said, "Lady, how long are you going to stick with the drinking here? I mean, you need to give this thing up and you need to stop that." And she says, "I'm not drunk. I haven't been drinking. I'm in anguish. My soul is in anguish before the Lord because I want him, I desire for him to give me a child." After that time of prayer and the exchange with Eli, God really answered the prayer of Hannah. And sometime later, she gave birth to a son, and they named him Samuel. And that's actually a name that means the name of God, but it sounds very, very similar to the name that refers to someone who has heard from God. And so Hannah was saying, "You know what? God, you gave me this son. You heard my cry, and you gave me this son. And he is a gift from you." And so she named him Samuel. Now, her promise to God when she asked for this request was, "God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you so that all the days of his life he may serve you." Now, I want to just make a request of you as parents and as moms. Because I hope every day you're praying for your children and you're seeking God's best for them and you're praying for God's best for them. But you know what? I really see something in her that I think, you know, would be really good for us as parents to pray for. That when God gives his children, like these 38 children that were across the stage this morning, we pray that God would use them for his glory. Whatever he wants in their life, however he wants to use them. Because you know what? We need to pray for God to call out from our number more people who are going to share the gospel with the world, more missionaries and pastors and servants that are going to be full-time dedicating themselves to serving and honoring Jesus. And you know what? She made that commitment, and she followed through. It wasn't an empty promise. When God gave her a son, she gave that son right back in service to the Lord. And this man became a mighty leader for Israel. He became the prophet, the leader in this nation that was to honor God. It was phenomenal. Now, what I see in her are three very important things that really make, I think, help us become godly mothers. Number one is this. When a crisis came, she knew where to turn. When she was in very, very troubled and distraught, she knew where to turn. In other words, she had a vital relationship with God, and she had a resident trust in him that just said, "You know what? When trouble comes, I'm going to God. I am going to him. I'm going to put this on him because, you know, he holds my very life in his hands." In fact, she uses the term Lord of Hosts, which is really an interesting term in Scripture. I wish I had time to talk more about it. But let me just say, it really means that the Lord is the one who rules over the armies of the nations. He rules over all creation, even the heavens. He is sovereign. And so she was saying, "You know what, God? I'm in this situation, and I'm petitioning you because you are the one who can handle it all. You hold all things in your hand." And so, man, the first thing is, when trouble comes, you know where to come. You know where to turn. Teach your children and model before them that when trouble comes, you turn to the Lord. He's the one who holds your very life in his hands. Second thing, she knew how to pray. She knew how to pray. You know what? Not only in chapter 1 does she pray, but after the son is born, chapter 2, the first 10 verses, are a record of Hannah's prayer. You know why praying wasn't a strange thing for her? Because she always prayed. She was a woman of prayer. Now, I'll tell you, just personally speaking for myself, there are a lot of things that I miss about my mom. There really are. But the thing I miss most is I knew before I lived out one day that my mom, that morning, got on her knees and had prayed for me, had petitioned God for me every single day of my life until the day she died. She prayed for me. Now listen to me. That may not mean much to your children when they're young. When you're telling them, "I'm praying for you every day. I'm praying for you. I'm lifting you up before the Father, and I'm praying for you. I'm seeking God for you. I'm praying for you every day. Son, when you go to school, I'm praying for you." That may not mean much to them now, but I can tell you when they get to be adults, they will live off your prayers. Every day it will encourage their hearts to know that, you know one thing I can count on today? My mom's praying for me. Now, if you're a parent and been a parent very long, one thing you're learning real quick, though you want to be their protector. You want to guard them from every evil influence. You want to build that hedge of protection around them, and you want to hover over them. And as they get older, guess what? You don't get to go everywhere with them, all right? It's not going to happen, is it? You can't go everywhere, but you know what? God can. God will. And so you can pray for them. And she did. The third thing, she knew who to trust. She knew who to trust. She knew who to trust her children back to, didn't she? Why? Because she understood something. She understood that Samuel was not hers. Not because she had made this promise when she asked for God to give her a son that she would give him back. But she understood that God, that child was God's. And God was just loaning him to her. Now that may be a little bit stretching the terminology, but let me just help you understand something, that the children that you have don't first belong to you. They belong to him. They're God's children. And they're a gift of his grace to your life. And you have the opportunity and privilege to pour into them and to share with them and to love on them and to show them Jesus every day, so that every day of their life they will honor the one who made them, who loves them most, and that they were made to glorify. I mean, that's what we get to do. So she knew who to trust. Now, you know, one of my favorite stories I ran across back in 1995. It was about a lady who was blind, and she finally had a child. Her son, when he grew up, watching his mom struggle with this handicap, made her a commitment. He said, "Mom, I'm not going to leave your side. I will always be your eyes." But at age 16, he was killed in an accident. When her son Christopher was in the hospital, and the doctors knew that he was going to die, they came to his mom and said, "Is he an organ donor? And will he be?" And she said, "Sure." After they went back and consulted with the other doctors, they came back and said, "We've got an idea. We think it would be a good idea for it to transplant your son's corneas into your eyes, and we think you could see." And so they did that. And it wasn't long before they removed the patches, and the first thing she saw when they removed the patches was a picture of her son. Her son blessed his mom's life in his life and in his death. And that's what we want to do today. And I want to read you one more verse. It's in Proverbs 31 again. And so turn there with me. Proverbs 31. If you look back in verse 28, it says this about a godly mother. "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. He says, 'Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all.'" That's what we say to you today, moms. That's what we say to you. We want to rise up as children and bless your name. And as husbands, we want to say to you, you surpass them all. Thank you for being a godly mother. And the way we want to do that is we want to have a time of prayer for you. And so I'm going to ask first, our ladies, if you would, our moms, if you would make your way to the altar. I want you just to cover the altar. Will our ladies just come, kneel here. Just get as close as you can. I know the aisles are going to fill up. Still got some room down here in the front. Isn't it really cool to see this many ladies here today, this many moms, spending time with God, growing in His grace, and desiring to be a godly mother? Now listen, if your mom is in this number, or your wife is in this number, then guys, I want you to stand right where you are. Okay. It's a symbol of love. Girls, too. If your mom's in this number, stand right here. It's right where you are. It's a symbol of our love for you and our desire to pray for you and pray God's blessing on your life. We're standing right now. And I just want us to pray. Maybe you do know somebody here at the front. Maybe you don't. If you don't, I just encourage you to pray for everyone that's here. And if you do, lift your mom up, your wife up to the Lord, and ask for God's blessing on her life. Let's just pray together right now. Father, we bow before you today, and we thank you. Thank you for your great, amazing love for us. Lord, we see what love is, not because we love you, but because you loved us. And you gave your son as a sacrifice for our sins. So, Father, we come before you today, and learning from your love and experiencing your love, we come just to say we want to love you back. And we want to love and show love for these ladies that are here at the front. Lord, we lift them up to you, and we just pray right now that you would just bless their lives. God, I pray that whatever stage of life they're in, whether their children are just starting to grow, or their children are older and have their own families, I pray that you would bless them, that you would just encourage them today with your presence and let them know that you're with them always. Lord, I pray that you would give them peace in their hearts and their minds so that each day they can live with absolute confidence and trust in you. And God, I pray that you would give them just a heart filled with love and compassion for their families and their children. Lord, I just pray that you would also watch over them as they make decisions, that you would rule their hearts and their minds, that your word would become the compass for the way they live and the decisions they make, and even the decisions they make for their children or regarding their children. I pray that you would shape their hearts and that your Holy Spirit would guide their steps and their decision-making process. And God, I pray for their life before you. I pray that every day, Lord, they would spend time with you and they would find their strength in your strength. Lord, I pray that you would shape their hearts so that they would be a godly woman in society and at home. That people that saw them and heard them and watched their life in public and in private would know that they live for you and they love you and they serve you. I pray that you would get glory from the words that they speak, the relationships they're engaged in, the way they conduct their life. And I pray that their home would be this treasured place where everyone that's closest to them would see the real them, to see exactly what they're really all about as they live a life before Jesus. Lord, make yourself known in these ladies' homes through their lives, through their voices, through their actions, through their attitudes, through everything about them. May the people that are most dear to them see Jesus. And God, I pray that you would protect their hearts. Just surround them with your protection. Keep them safe from Satan's distractions and distortions. Lord, give them a heart that's resolved to live for you and that's full of faith and trust. And Lord, may they walk strong every day. And in those moments where they feel like they're weak and about to collapse, I pray that you would be their strength and carry them through. And that, Lord, today, I pray that this one day that we take out of the year to honor them and to bless them and to encourage them, that, Lord, they would indeed be honored and blessed and encouraged, and that they would be inspired to live for you. Lord, thank you for our moms. Thank you for the way they live and the way they love. Thank you for all that they've poured into us. Now, Lord, use us to bless them back. And we'll give you praise for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen.